Hello and welcome to Finch Shots Daily. In today's episode, we talk about Apple's foray into advertising. Apple is an ad company now, and its employees don't like what's happening. See, like many other tech companies, Apple sells ads. Not as pervasive as the others, but it still does. For instance, in 2021, Facebook's ad revenue was a whopping $115 billion. And Apple's was a mere $4 billion. But if we told you that Apple multiplied this ad revenue by nearly 4 times over the previous year, and that in 2021, Apple's ad revenue topped TikTok's total revenue? That's crazy, right? But the folks in Apple's ad team aren't pleased. According to a recent investigation by The Information, they think ads will soon destroy the premium factor that everyone's come to associate with the iPhone ecosystem. After all, people don't pay $1,000 for a device to be bombarded with ads. And Apple's aware of this too. It knows that ad engines are antithetical to the privacy claims they keep making all the time. You can't run ads unless you target users based on certain criteria, sift through their preferences, and then feed them exactly the kind of ads that would push them to commit to a purchase. So Apple has tried to sugarcoat things, at least internally. It doesn't use typical ad terms such as targeting. Instead, it calls it audience refinement. When a company pushes ads to target a competitor's brand name, it doesn't call it conquesting. Instead, it uses the word brand defense. In some ways, you could argue that Apple's doing all this to make itself feel better about its burgeoning ad business. But that's not really going to matter to users who see these ads, right? They don't care if they're a part of audience refinement. They'll only know that Apple's not walking the talk. Imagine wanting to kill the intrusive ad businesses elsewhere, but then replacing those ads with your own. It's a bit hypocritical. And if you don't fully follow what's happening here, let's explain. Okay, remember when Apple introduced something called App Tracking Transparency or ATT last year? If you opened the Facebook app on your iPhone, you would have received a prompt that said something like this: allow Facebook to track your activity across other companies' apps and websites? Because that's what advertising companies like Facebook did. They tracked you everywhere. If you visited an online sneaker shop to check out the latest drop, they'd know you were there. Then they used this information to help brands like Nike and Adidas target the same users repeatedly. But after Apple's prompt, people kind of freaked out. 62% of iPhone users clicked no. They didn't want to be tracked all the time. And that pretty much was the death knell for Facebook and its ilk. Without effective tracking, a happily married individual could see a Tinder or Bumble ad. High school teachers could be bombarded with ads about tech gadgets. And when companies realized it, they cut back on their advertising budgets. This year, Facebook could lose a massive $10 billion thanks to Apple's ATT. And you know this by now. All the advertising dollars are going to Apple. That's why its revenues from ads have soared nearly 4 times. Sure, people could argue that Apple's intention with ATT was still privacy-oriented. But come on, do you really think a massive conglomerate such as Apple didn't really see the second-order effects here? Maybe Apple really wanted to kill its competition. Why? Well, think about it. What does Apple really sell? Hardware. But it's getting harder to sell iPhones and iPads. Smartphone sales are plateauing. After all, you can't keep creating gadgets that are only slightly better each year and expect them to drive massive growth. So Apple needs a side hustle. It needs to drum up revenue. And the ad business is a money spinner. But how could Apple compete effectively against established players? Well, precisely by doing what it did last year, hurt the competition. And now that it has tasted success, it may want to show ads everywhere. On Apple Maps, on Apple Podcasts, on Apple TV. Every piece of Apple real estate actually. Because Apple wants to hit the $10 billion ad revenue mark. And it wants to do it ASAP. What about privacy? Well, that we don't know. But if you wanted more proof that Apple's deadly serious about growing its ad business, well, look no further than its organizational structure. Because that's one of the easiest ways in which you can judge the ambitions of a company. If a company is serious about something, they'll put the right people to oversee it. See, Apple clubs a lot of things under its services division, money it makes from Apple Music, the 30% cut it takes from apps selling stuff on its App Store, the iCloud subscriptions, etc. Basically, anything that is not hardware, like the iPhone or the AirPods. Now, ads are a part of services too, but the person who headed the ad business didn't actually have direct access to the person who led the services division. There was someone in between. There was a hierarchy. But according to Bloomberg's Mark Gurman, that's changed. Now, the services head will pay direct and close attention to the ad business. Ads are a priority. Also, Apple doubled the number of folks in its ads team after it introduced ATT. The team now has 250 members. So yes, pretty soon Apple, the hardware giant, could become the advertising behemoth. The only question that remains is, will Apple eschew its principles of privacy to make more money? Hopefully, it doesn't. And while that's the end of today's episode, here's an insight from Team Ditto. Why do most Indians don't have term insurance? According to a survey, only 3 in 10 urban Indians buy term insurance. Here's why. Number 1, assuming it's expensive. 1 in 4 urban Indians associates term plans with exorbitant premiums. But here's the truth. Term insurance is one of the least expensive ways to insure your life. And if purchased early, you get to lock lower premiums forever. That's not all. There is always the tax-saving angle to premiums paid. Pretty cheap from a bird's eye view. Number 2, confusing insurance for investment. 7 in 10 Indians believe that the return on premium option in term plans is the most important feature of their policy. But such plans often come with high premiums. What's more, if you invest the premium difference between the regular term plan and a return on premium plan in better financial instruments, you stand to gain a lot more money than what you'll get when the policy expires. Number 3, lack of knowledge. In another study, they found that 57% of term plan holders are not aware of the sum assured on their own policy. Shocking, right? So the ones who buy a plan don't know much about their own policy, and others avoid buying one altogether due to the complexities involved. Which is precisely why we have a dedicated term insurance explainer unraveling all the mysteries, clauses, and conditions in a term plan. And in case you need help selecting the right term plan, here's what you can do. Go to Ditto's website, the link is in the description below, click on book a free call, select term insurance, choose the date and time as per your convenience and relax, and our advisors will take it from there. Thank you for listening to today's episode. FinShots Daily is available on a bunch of streaming platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. So make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Until next time.